What's up, everybody? Welcome to Gonzo and the Judge Sports Talk here on Wednesday, September 14th, 2022. Have a lot of things to talk about. NFL is going full swing now. Got college football in full swing. Major League Baseball getting closer to the to playoff time. A lot of things going on. Joined tonight, like always, by the Judge. How's it going, Judge?
What's up, fella? What's up, fellas? Well, hey, it's only you here, Chris. I'm talking like I'm part of a huge family. It's just you, my man. What's going on? You know, hey, I'm feeling nostalgic tonight. Cause look what shirt I got on. You're killing me.
Oh yeah,
small.
I saw it.
Now oh, I know yeah. you know. I know you know about The Sandlot. That's one of the best baseball movies ever made, ever produced, ever released. One of the greatest movies I've ever seen. It's my childhood. That was an iconic film. How are you feeling tonight, my man? It's always fun to be on this show. It's always fun to do this show. We have a great audience that tunes into this show. We can't thank them enough. You know, let's get right to it, man, because we got a lot to talk about tonight. We got a lot to get to.
Yeah. Let's start in the NFL. Dak Prescott, the owner, Dr. Jerry Jones, came out and said that there's a chance Dak could be back. That's why they weren't putting him on the injury reserve. I didn't know Jerry Jones was a doctor all of a sudden. I thought it was funny. It was going for 6 to 8 weeks, and now they think he might be back in four. I think they could be making a mistake trying to rush him back. You try to rush him back and get him back in four games, and he could he's not ready, and he could re-injure that hand and then be out even longer. I mean, they said it's a clean break, man. Four weeks to me is awful soon for a clean thumb and a quarterback on his throwing hand. I mean, that's your grip. I mean, that's your grip of the ball. Yeah, I wouldn't be taking a chance rushing him out there too soon. And the way this sounded, I think that Dallas might be are so worried about their season that they might rush him out there too soon.
Yeah, well, you know, to start off, Jerry Jones has a number of job titles, right? He's the general manager. He's the owner. He's the coach. And now he's a doctor, you know. So we could call him Dr. Jerry Jones. Well, not quite. I don't know if he has a doctoring degree to be called a doctor. But let's get right to it here. Let's talk a little bit about the Dallas Cowboys, because the Dallas Cowboys seem to always draw attention, you know, from the masses. And, you know, a lot of people see the Dallas Cowboys as America's team. I think that's a bit silly, because they haven't looked like America's team. And if this is America's team, then this country is very pathetic to believe such a thing, because they don't look like America's team at all. But to answer your question, would they be bringing Dak Prescott back too soon? Absolutely. You don't want to rush this. You don't want to rush the process, you know, especially suffering a fractured thumb, right? It's a fractured thumb. Why would you want to bring him back so soon? You know, you're talking about 4 weeks, a potential return in 4 weeks. That's a month. You know, that's not very long. And he's not going to go on injured reserve. You know, I think you want to be careful here. You want to do your very best to protect your quarterback from further injury. You know, he is your franchise quarterback. At least you paid him like he's won. You know, they gave him a boatload of cash. You know, basically, he got paid like he's an elite quarterback, and he has yet to win a playoff game. He has yet to prove himself worthy of that massive contract, despite the fact that he was handed so much money. So, I mean, you got to give him time to recover. I think Prescott will need longer than a month to recover. I'm guessing he would need 6 to 8 weeks. To recover from a fractured thumb injury. You send him back out there, you're going to be sorry if he gets injured again, and then you might lose him for the remaining of the season. If you lose him for the remaining of the season, then your season is done. It's over. It's a wrap. You know, I got the Eagles winning this division anyway, because I like what they did in the offseason to get better, you know. And now the Eagles match up really well against the Dallas Cowboys. Now, the Dallas Cowboys have a little reason to be optimistic because of their, of course, their defense. Their defense played really well in the season opener. You know, I got the impression that the defense is the strength of this team, and that's what's going to really make matters better for the Dallas Cowboys. But, man, you know, injuries have piled up for years for the Dallas Cowboys, and it's going to be interesting to see how the Cowboys fare without Prescott, you know, because I think Prescott needs to be on the field. I think the Dallas Cowboys' success hinges on Prescott's presence, and it will determine the team's success or failure of the 2022 season. Now, this is not the first time they had a quarterback who's dealt with a finger injury. You go back to 2008, Tony Romo missed 3 games with a broken pinky finger. You know, so, I mean, the Cowboys, they have dealt with a number of injuries, and it seems like the injuries are piling up again. The Cowboys, when they were without Tony Romo during that span, they went 1-2 in his absence with Brad Johnson and then Brooks Bollinger at quarterback. I believe they shared time. I might be incorrect there, but it's been a long time. But I know Tony Romo, you know, had an injury kind of like Dak Prescott's. But I don't know. I think you want to be really careful. You want to be precaution. You want to take precautionary action for sure. You know, and now the Dallas Cowboys will have to do their best with what they have. They will have to turn to Cooper Rush.
Here's my, yeah.
You know, as the replacement. So we'll see. We'll see.
And my thing on it is, all these people are freaking out. Oh, the Cowboys lost Dak. They lost Dak. What was Dak doing before he got hurt? He wasn't looking very good in that game.
No, and he
you
didn't
can blame it on his receiving. You can blame it if they don't have a receiving core or whatever you want to try to blame it on. But he did not look good. And the reason I would have never paid him the money they paid him, because if you're getting that kind of money, you should be able to win a game. If a team needs you to win a game, you should be able to. If everything's not perfect for him, if every piece isn't there and available, he struggles. First, he didn't have a number one, so they bring him Amari Cooper. Okay, he looked better. But then once Amari Cooper got hurt or one of the other guys got hurt, the offense went awry. He's been one of them quarterbacks. It's like everything has to be perfect for him to thrive. And that's what worried me about Dak when they gave him the money. That is, I mean, a lot of his stats come in garbage time. After the game, yeah. A lot of his stats come after the game's already out of reach, and he goes off in the fourth quarter when the defense isn't playing the same. But in the first half of the game, he don't do nothing.
Right, and a big thing for him has been ball security issues. And before we move on, Dustin, correction. Yes, he did win a playoff game.
Hey, stat guy will let you know.
Stat guy will let you know for sure. I was wrong about that. But Dak Prescott, man, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys are not accustomed to, you know, being without him. I mean, you know, they have become too accustomed, actually, to being without him. This is not the first time he's been injured.
Yeah.
You know, he suffered a compound fracture and dislocation of his right ankle in 2020, missing 11 games. And then last season, he missed 1 game with a calf strain suffered in October that affected him for the rest of the season. So, I mean, this guy is a bit prone to injury. You know, and we could sit here and say that he's made of glass as well, because it seems like health has been a big problem for him. Yet Jerry Jones you know, gambled on him and he betted on him big time that he could be the guy in the future, you know, and was paying him all that money the right move? With the market going up for quarterbacks, this deal had to get done in order to lock up Dak Prescott. And Jerry Jones obviously believes that Dak is capable of carrying this offense. But I just don't see it at this moment because, for one, Dak is not healthy. Two, Dak, you know, chokes under pressure, it seems. You know, when the going gets tough, he tends to make mistakes. You know, so, I mean, he does have the ability. You know, he does have the tendencies, but I just don't see it. But I will say this, though. The Dallas Cowboys are in worse shape without him.
Are, but they, like I said, I didn't think they were a very good team with them. They didn't do nothing really in the offseason to get better.
You're right.
So but we'll see what they do.
They need him. They desperately need him. I mean, I think you would want him, you know, as your quarterback over Cooper Rush.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, no, I think every Cowboy fan would choose Dak over Cooper Rush.
You never know. Cooper Rush might come in and ball.
Yeah, because he's given that opportunity. And, you know, when, you know, opportunities don't come to us all the time. So maybe this is his chance to show everyone what he has and what he can do and what he can bring to the table. What's up,
Lynn? He says, is there any free agent quarterbacks you think the Cowboys should look to sign? I think they're going to look to sign anybody. I think that Prescott will be back for probably 4 to 5 weeks, and they're going to gamble these next four with the Cooper Rush.
Now, Jerry Jones,
that's what I expect for it to happen.
Jerry Jones paid his guy, and he invested a lot in Dak Prescott. I expect him to be back on the field, even if he's not ready, even if he's not 100%. I expect him to be back out there on the field. We all know how Jerry Jones operates. We all know how stubborn Jerry Jones is. We also know how inflexible Jerry Jones is.
Yeah, and Dustin, you got a point. Elliott has been terrible. I'm not blaming it all on Dak. I'm just some of it's on Dak, too. Dak has
Elliott's been
terrible.
He's been terrible. And Dustin is absolutely right. I mean, he hit it on the nail with this statement here. The Cowboys are too one-dimensional. And they're going to be one-dimensional as long as Mike McCarthy is coaching the team. I mean, I've said that.
You're right. You guys don't. Great receiving core.
What's up,
you guys, Billy? You guys are just like the Colts that don't have a very good receiving core either. That's what worries me about the Colts. And it's also what worries me about the Cowboys, too. They don't have a great receiving core. Like I said, it's not all on Dak.
Right. Well, now all the pressure shifts to CeeDee Lamb because he's like the lone man in that receiving room, you know, and now all the attention is going to be on him. You know, now you could pretty much put two bodies on him. You could bring the double coverage and make life much harder for him. We all know how dynamic of a receiver he could be. I still think you give Tony Pollard more touches than you do Ezekiel Elliott. And I know we discussed this the other night and you made a good point why he's not getting as many touches. And that's because, you know,
Pollard can run the ball, but he's not very good in pass protection yet. That's where he struggles right now. That's something
Ezekiel Elliott is good at, pass protection. But Ezekiel Elliott, since he's gotten paid, he hasn't been that stellar running back that everyone hoped he would be.
Nope.
You know, he just suddenly disappeared. Like his level of production decreased tremendously. Oh, yeah. And it has raised the level of concern about his ability to be, you know, that electrifying running back that we first saw when he emerged into the league. Because when he first came into the league, he burst onto the scene, you know, and he was a fun player to watch. And now all of a sudden, you're not seeing that from him. You know, this is a player who has been in steady decline, which is really puzzling to me when you have all this stamina and you have the speed and you have the versatility to be that damn good and you just have fallen off. It's like you've fallen off a cliff and you never found your way back to the top.
Oh, yeah. John says the only free agents they might look would be Fitzmagic, Dalton, Andy Dalton, Phillip Rivers, but I would stay with Cooper Rush. And I think Cooper can pull off 2 or 3 wins. I mean,
they better hope
he might
so.
Be able to. I mean, they play the Bengals, the Giants, Washington, the Rams. So, I mean, you never know. The Washington game is the one that I think they really need to win just because it's a division game. Right. But, I mean, you never know. Okay, Cooper Rush might come in and light it up. I'm not saying he's going to. That's not what I think is going to happen, but he could.
Well, the Cowboys are not going to ask Rush to be Prescott.
But what they need – the thing is, Rush isn't going to have – right now, Rush isn't going to have no much more success than Prescott is until they get some receivers healthy. They need a guy in a – damn it, they have in Washington. That they got from Pittsburgh. They need them guys to be healthy to put out there with CD Lamb to try to give them a little help. Their offense will be a little better.
Right.
But that receiving core, somebody's going to have to step up.
But what they need from Cooper Rush is for him to keep them afloat. You know, if he can keep them afloat in Prescott's absence, that's a huge plus for the Dallas Cowboys. Because, again, I think in the end of it all, they're going to rely heavily on their defense. I think their defense is the strength of the Dallas Cowboys. I think the defense is a key component to their success this season. You know, and if their defense can force enough turnovers and give the Cowboys a short field, that can help them out tremendously too. You got to look at what they have on defense. They have Trayvon Diggs in the secondary. Then you have Micah Parsons, who's playing out of this world already in the first game of the season. He showed up, you know, and he was making life hard for Tom Brady. I think he sacked him twice in the game. You know, he was able to come off the edge, manipulate the pass rush. Manipulate the passing game. You know, he was able to be a beast. You know, he was a beast, a ferocious beast out there, and that's something that he does well. He gets after the quarterback. You know, he disrupts the flow of the game, and we saw that from Micah Parsons. So I think if he continues to play as well as he does, and if you get a few, and if you're able to force turnovers, you know, and give Cooper Rush a short field, who knows what could happen, you know, for the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay,
maybe
there'll
be some encouraging signs.
John says, okay, serious question. Not a fan of either, but people knock on Zeke, but don't knock on CMC injured every year where Zeke is fairly healthy. No, that's a good point. I think the reason more people are on Zeke than they are McCaffrey is because Zeke's on the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, and
exactly. He wears a star logo.
McCaffrey's on the Panthers. So, I mean, I'm not saying it's fair, but that's what it is. Lennon, that makes no – I don't think they're going to trade for Locke. If Locke can't beat Geno Smith, I don't think he's going to be any better than Cooper Rush. That's just my opinion. I don't think Locke's better than Cooper Rush, so why – I don't think that makes a whole lot. I don't think that'll happen. John also says McCaffrey signed a 4-year. Zeke signed 6 years. So it's, yeah, that's pretty similar. And I understand what you're saying about McCaffrey. He has to stay healthy.
He does have to stay healthy. He's another one who's always injury prone. But you know what? These guys are in two different markets. The Dallas Cowboys are a team that has won multiple Super Bowls. They have seen legends come and go. They have so much mystique. There's so much history there. They have prestige, you know, all of that. So, I mean, that's why the Dallas Cowboys are the most talked about team. And that's why I think, you know, Ezekiel Elliott is always under scrutiny because he puts on a helmet with the star logo on it.
Yeah, I mean, that's some of it because, I mean, hey, look, yep. We just spent 20 minutes talking about the Dallas Cowboys. Everybody talks about the Cowboys, whether you like them or not.
That's true. You hear people talking about them on ESPN, FSN1. I mean, every damn station you turn to, everybody's talking about the freaking Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. CMC is better on one leg than Elliott has been his whole career. Most talked about because of their delusional fans. Yep, that's true. We got a big matchup tomorrow night for Thursday night football with the Chiefs and the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm excited for this game tomorrow night. I think it's going to be one of those barn burner games. Probably a shootout is what I'm expecting. What are you expecting from this game tomorrow night? You got Mahomes against Herbert.
I think this game, you know, can potentially be high scoring. I think this could be a shootout between two, top tier quarterbacks in this league. No doubt about it. Justin Herbert has emerged into, a top flight quarterback in this league. Then you look at what Patrick Mahomes can do and you see the week he had. He had an incredible week one, a great season opener against the Arizona Cardinals. And I think Patrick Mahomes has returned to MVP form. I know it was only one game, but he looked really, really good. He looked stellar out there. And he had one hell of a performance, you know. And if you look at what the Chargers did to the Raiders, pulling out a great win. To get their season started, it was fun to watch. Justin Herbert to me is a stud. He has the playmakers around him. He has the weapons, and with all the pieces that he have around him, this team can definitely make a run. And then you look at the Chargers defense. Now that's what's gonna be interesting. That's what makes this matchup so compelling because you got Patrick Mahomes on one side. But then on the other side, you're going to have Joey Bosa running him down. You know, you're going to have Khalil Mack, who looks like the Khalil Mack that we saw when he played in Chicago with the Bears before he eventually made the move to the Raiders.
You got that backwards.
Oh, yeah. I do got that backwards. You're right.
Raiders and went to the Bears.
Right. That's right. My bad. My mistake. My mistake. Fact check.
Dustin makes a good point, and this is what worries me a little bit about the Chargers is they're not going to have Keenan Allen tomorrow. So I think that'd be something that they're going to be missing. John says it's the Chiefs, so he's going with Chiefs, especially with Herbert missing one of his best players. He's saying it's going to be a 4-6 point game. And
Billy
says 45-42 Chiefs. I think it's going to be what'd you say?
I definitely think it's going to be a high scoring game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They have the over at like 53.5. I would take the over because I think both these teams are going to score probably at least 30 points each. I think it's going to be one of them games that whoever has the ball last,
yeah, going to
win.
Yeah. And you know, like I said, in week one, Patrick Mahomes gave everyone a refresher. You know, he gave everyone a refresher on his greatness.
Yeah, but how good? But how good is the Cardinals?
True.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying Mahomes isn't good, because Mahomes is good, but you know what I mean.
And I mean, you
their
know,
offense is struggling.
The Raiders, man, they gave away some donations out there. Derek Carr gave away some donations. Oh,
yeah, Carr didn't play good. Carr didn't have a good game either.
But you know, he was giving away the ball like it was going to charity or something. Throwing three interceptions in the game, and of course the Chargers, with the playmakers they have on offense, when they got the ball back, they took advantage of those mistakes. And they capitalized on those mistakes, you know. But Justin Herbert is lethal. This guy, you want to watch out for him. You want to watch out for him because he is not playing. He is for real. You know, he is for real, and he looked really, really good. But here's a stat for you, Chris. Here's a stat to pay attention to. The Chargers have won 13 of their last 16 games against the Chargers, including a Week 15 Thursday thriller last season at SoFi Stadium.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, Herbert, the Chiefs kind of have their 22 versus Chiefs. I know we have embarked on a different era. The Chargers have embarked on a new era. So things do change. I mean, we're in for a fight tomorrow night. This is going to be an AFC heavyweight battle for sure. And we'll see which team will come out on top, which team will prevail in the end. But I think the Chiefs are – Dustin's right. Dustin, man, Dustin's always on point. The Chiefs are on a mission, and this is their statement game. Absolutely. But can we also say the same thing about the Chargers? They're looking at it as it being a statement game for them too. And it would be huge if they are able to pull it off without Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
That would tell us a lot about the Chargers. I think we'll learn a lot tomorrow night about the Chiefs and the Chargers.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's going to be a great game to watch. I'm leaning toward the Chargers. It does scare me that they're not going to have Allen. I think that Chargers defense, with the pickups they made, getting Mac and having Bosa as well, I think they're going to be able to slow the Chiefs down a little bit. I know you're not going to stop them, but honestly, I think it's going to be one of them games. Whoever has the ball last, or the team that doesn't turn the ball over, who makes that big mistake. So I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. I'm going to lean toward the Chargers. It does scare me is they're not going to have Keenan Allen. Mike Williams is going to have to step up. I think he's capable of it. And, I mean, they have some other weapons as well. So, I think it's going to be a great game. I'm expecting a shootout. I'm expecting a high-scoring game. Now, watch. We'll get one of them damn games. It's like 6-3.
Yeah, because the defense decides to step it up and turn it up a notch. It could happen that way, too. I don't know. I think this is going to be a battle of the offenses.
John says, what was your most surprising and disappointment this weekend? Steelers defense shocked me. Lions looked improved. Giants Barkley looked good. Denver defense looked horrible. 49ers just looked lost. Patriots might win 6 or 7 games this year. For me, I was disappointed in the Indianapolis Colts. You should never tie with Houston. We should have won that game. I know that the receiving core scared me, but even they too many mistakes. They should have won that game. That disappointed me. Steelers defense did look good. I like his statement about Barkley. I was kind of surprised that Saquon was running the ball hard. He looked like he was on a mission. And if he stays healthy, I think he's going to put up some numbers this year. I was surprised about how bad Denver looked last night. I think they're in trouble. I think they hired a coordinator as a coach. The guy's just not – he's a coordinator, in my opinion. He can't manage the game. So I think that's one thing that's going to hurt them. Unless he just gets better. Maybe it was his first game jitters or something. But some of those decisions just didn't make much sense. I like Minnesota. Like I said, Minnesota, I think, looked real good. I think getting a new I don't know what kind of surprised you.
Well, the Steelers did surprise me the way they came out and played. They looked really, really sharp against a really good Bengals team that went to the Super Bowl a year ago. They forced Joe Burrow into 5 turnovers. I mean, you know, that there was some uncharacteristic mistakes by Joe Burrow in the game. And you saw Minkah Fitzpatrick. You know, he showed once again that he's one of the premier safeties in this league, if not the best. You know, he was able to he read the play well and was able to pick it off and return it to the end zone for a pick six, you know. And you know, the Steelers threw the kitchen sink.
But the thing that worries me about the Steelers,
the Bengals,
thing that worries me about the Steelers, though, and John, I like that. Colts tied because your Reds lost. Yeah, my Reds just lost 3 games to the Pittsburgh Pirates in a row. That's how bad the Reds are. But anyway, thing I worry about with Pittsburgh is, yeah, their defense played good. They had 5 turnovers, but you still had to go to overtime to win that game.
Right.
And you had five turnovers. Right. Game shouldn't be that close.
You're right. But here's the bigger worry. Here's the bigger worry. You're without your best pass rusher now. You're without.
They got lucky. He's not going to have surgery, though.
Yeah, you're without T.J. Watt. You know, yeah,
only for about 6 weeks. He's not going to have surgery,
right? But still, that's a huge loss because he is a game wrecker. You know, he is a terror for the opposing quarterback, and he is a cornerstone of that defense. Yeah. So now, without him, what this does. For the Steelers, they would have to lean more on their secondary to apply the pressure and create more in bringing the blitzes. You know, you're going to have to rely on Fitzpatrick to play more like a linebacker now, something we saw quite often last season. So that's just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, no, I agree. They got lucky on that O because he don't have to have surgeries. So he's not going to be out the whole year. At least I don't think. Dustin says, Judge, you need to put some respect on Tomlin's name. He is the second best coach behind Bill Belichick.
Oh, I agree. Mike Tomlin, you know, he prepares his team for moments like this. You know, he brings his team together in the face of adversity, no question about it. You know, he has a winning record with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I think he has done a fabulous job coaching the team. He has done a terrific job with that team, you know, keeping the winning culture together, you know, sustaining a winning culture. You know, you don't have Ben Roethlisberger anymore. You saw some players come and go, and you still have been able to somehow in some way reshape the culture and hold things together. And no, he's never had a losing season. And to me, that's very impressive. You know, the knock on him when he first took the job was that he had a team that Bill Cowher built. And we saw that he was able to prove that, you know, he could be the head coach of this team, that he actually was qualified for the job because of how he was able to hold it all together and keep this team winning despite losing players, despite being without this player. It's just amazing what Mike Tomlin has been able to do. And I love listening to his press conferences. I like how he breaks things down in his press conferences. He definitely has a great mind for the game. You know, he definitely instills, you know, greatness in his players. And we see that week in and week out. He doesn't give up on his players. His players are committed to playing very hard. And, you know, I think, you know, he's one of the best coaches that I've ever seen. And it's just amazing.
John says, let's ask this question. Did the Bills get better because I think they're the same team they were last year. Another team that's pretty much the same team is the Titans. Titans looked bad week one, but Titans beat Bills last year. Titans upset this week. I don't think the Titans are going to pull off the upset this week. I think the Bills, they do pretty much have the same team. The only thing that did worry me was losing Daboll, but they looked great opening night against the Rams. The Bills did, other than a couple turnovers by Allen, but other than that, they looked good. I don't think Tennessee is going to be able to pull off the upset. But yeah, you're right, John. Derrick Henry is going to test that run defense. Dustin said people forget that Brian Flores is coaching linebackers on Pittsburgh. No, yeah, people can't forget that. That's a big deal. Flores is a good coach. But I don't see the Titans pulling an upset against the Bills this week. What do you think, Judge? Real quick,
yeah, the Titans.
Frankie says Yankees are back, baby.
Aaron Judge is on fire right now, man. He's going to get that record.
Dustin says Titans are in trouble. Derrick Henry and his foot win his reign as the top back. I think Jonathan Taylor is going to be the top back this year in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm biased because I am a big Colts fan, but that's what I see.
Anyone with the name Jonathan is cool in my book, so, hey, I can agree with you there. But no, in all seriousness, no, he was the best running back.
Says, Frankie, they'll lose in the first round. The first round they play in.
No, but see, look, the Tennessee Titans open as a 9.5 underdog to the Buffalo Bills. And this really shouldn't surprise anyone when the Bills looked as good as they did against the Rams on Thursday night. Look, the Bills are one of the most complete teams in the NFL. Last season, they led the league in total defense. They led the league in offense. They're just a great team. And Josh Allen, he continues to get better each year, it seems. He continues to improve. And it's scary to watch because this guy is lethal as well. And what I really like about him is that he's not afraid to run the football. You know, he's not afraid to put his body on the line, you know, and he'll run. And even if he's running out of real estate, he'll keep trying to run. You know, the guy is very mobile. The guy has incredible arm strength. You know, he can perfectly place the ball in the hands of his receiver. He has great vision down the field. I like Josh Allen. I like what Josh Allen brings to this offense, and he has shown that he is a quality leader for this team. So, I mean, I like the Bills. I think the Bills will be ready to go this week against the Titans. And, you know, I like the Titans too, but I think the Titans are too one-dimensional as well. I think they rely heavily on their run game. They're a run heavy offense, and that's what their offense has been predicated on, right? But you got to give a lot of credit to Mike Vrabel. I think he's a damn good coach. I think he has, you know, changed the culture. I think the players buy into his system. They know what's expected of them. So the Tennessee Titans will be in contention as long as Mike Vrabel's the coach. And you got to remember, too, Mike Vrabel also learned from one of the best, and that's Bill Belichick, you know. So I think the Titans are going to somehow, some way be in contention, but I don't think they're going to beat the Bills. I don't see that happening.
I think the Colts are going to win that division. I still believe the Colts are going to win that division, even though we tied against the damn Texans, but we just made too many mistakes. I think we'll clean that up. We got rid of our kicker. a lot of people are like, why'd they get rid of him? He just missed a couple field goals. No, he done more than missed two field goals. He kicked two kickoffs out of bounds, gave the Texans the ball at the 40-yard line twice. Luckily, our defense was able to hold, but kicker had a bad day. Yeah, but I think Colts still is the best team in the South. We'll see what they do this weekend against Jacksonville. We haven't played well against Jacksonville the last couple times we played them. One being last year when they ended our playoff hopes, and that's why Carson Wentz isn't there no more. Frankie said, "Who you guys got tomorrow? Chargers or Chiefs?" I'm going with the Chargers. I worry a little bit since we're not going to have Keenan Allen, but I'm going to go with the Chargers. I think the Judge took the Chiefs.
Huh? No.
Oh, you got Chargers as well?
I'm going with the Chargers as well because I think the Chargers have more offensive firepower, and I think they have a solid defense that can put some pressure on Patrick Mahomes and that offense. They can disrupt what Patrick Mahomes is trying to do.
It was an interesting question I had earlier. How many home runs do you think Barry Bonds would have had the year that he hit 73 if pitchers would have pitched to him? Think about how many times he got walked because pitchers wouldn't pitch to him. Pitchers wouldn't pitch to Bonds like they are judged down the stretch. Just think about how many home runs this dude could have had if he would have been pitched to.
80 plus home runs?
I think he would have close to 100. I know that sounds unreal to say, but I mean, look how many walks he had. Just think.
That is kind of unreal, but you know, John, the way he was hitting the ball.
John says 92.
I mean, that's a good prediction. That's a good number to come up with. That sounds reasonable, right? That sounds logical. 92 said, home run.
He said he asked his crystal ball and it said 92.
Oh, that's how you pulled that number, huh? Frankie is chiming in, man. I love
how everybody's in the chat tonight and talking.
I can't wait for October. I'm so pumped up for October.
For October, for what? Baseball playoffs?
Oh hell yeah!
So you can watch the Dodgers choke again.
You know what? I didn't even celebrate the NL West title. Most of these Dodger fans did. And, you know, Dodger fans were calling me out for it, but I don't care at this point because I'm tired of year after year the Dodgers winning these division crowns. That's fine and everything, but you got to cash in October. You got to win when it matters, you know. So throwing all these parties after receiving a participation award is exhausting. Okay, it's tiring. I'm over it. You know, the Dodgers have won 9 division titles in the last 10 seasons, in their last 10 seasons, and have only accounted for 1 World Series title. That is unacceptable and inexcusable. As talented as this team is and as well constructed as the roster is, they should have won more World Series titles. So, you know, I'm not going to get my hopes up high because every time I do, they let me down. They find a way to disappoint me, and they find a way to screw it all up. And fans, you know, have to go to the store, walk down the aisle where the tissue is at, and they have to get a box of tissue because they're going to start, you know, welling up in tears because the Dodgers do what they do year after year, and then they leave everyone heartbroken.
Don't worry, Judge. I'll send you a box of Kleenex.
Send me a teddy bear. That would be even sweeter. And make sure the damn teddy bear is not blue. Please.
Frankie said you still like Joey Gallo.
I mean, you know, I haven't really watched baseball. I haven't really watched the Dodger game this past week, to be honest, because I've been so lost in all the football drama. But to be honest with you, Joey Gallo is not a bad player defensively. Where he struggles is offensively, obviously. The Dodgers were hopeful that they could unlock his hitting abilities. And we've seen him put the ball in play sometime. We've seen him hit a few home runs here and there. But he's still trying to find himself. He's trying to rediscover his himself and find that mojo. But I mean, I think he's a hit or miss at this point in his career. You're not going to get the Joey Gallo. I've come to the conclusion that you're not going to get the Joey Gallo that you saw when he played with the Texas Rangers.
Yeah. Billy says, Albert, where's Pujols at his Albert home run? I think he's at 697.
I think he is at 697 or 696, 697. He's definitely gonna be invited to join the 700 club very soon.
He's at 697. That's what I was.
He's gonna be a member of the 700 club, no doubt about it. He's been seeing the ball really well. He's been putting a nice barrel on the ball, and I think he's definitely gonna get 700. No question about it. There's more than enough time to accomplish that feat, and it would be incredible for a guy like Albert Pujols, because this dude is a class act. I like the way he conducts himself on and off the field. A very nice guy, very likable around the league, and I think the vast majority of baseball fans are rooting for him.
Do you think that? Well, John, do you think this will happen? Well, if teams start walk, you think teams will start walking him, not wanting to give up that 700th home run?
No, I don't think they would take away that personal achievement from him. I think they know the type of player he is. They know the type of person he is. And you know, these teams around the major leagues, they understand that's why the fans watch. The fans want to see history being made in the sport. So I don't think they'll take that away from him. I don't think they'll rob him of that opportunity. I think a lot of the players want to see him accomplish that goal and achieve the ultimate greatness. So no, I don't see that happening. He's going to get it no matter what. The only way I see you walking up a player like Pujols in any situation is if you are forced to walk him. Let's say you're in a situation where you have runners on base and he could do some damage. Then I think you walk him. Maybe you set up a double play, or you try to get to the next batter and hope that guy doesn't make you pay. That's the only way I see them even considering walking him.
He's going to get to 699, and it's the last game. He's going to go up at least three times and get walked. Must not be with Bernie Mac called Mr. 3000.
Wow, Frankie. Be nice. Kindness go a long way.
Going into the playoffs? Who you think's going to win the World Series? Are you sticking with the Dodgers, or you think there's another team that's hot that's going to pass them up?
I'm not going to try to mix business with pleasure. You know, I'm going to try to remove my fan cap. You got to watch out for the Braves. I'm not ready to predict the winner yet. You got to watch out for the Mets. Especially Cardinals. The Cardinals. I just watched that game tonight actually as well. The Mets, you got to really watch out for them, because if they have a nice lead going into the late innings, they have a really, really good bullpen. They have Seth Lugo. They have Smith. And then you have the flame throwing stellar closer of yours, which is Edwin Diaz. And we all know how unhittable he's been and how dominant he's been in the ninth inning. So they definitely have the high leverage arms. They definitely have two of the top pitchers in the league. You have Jacob DeGrom. The hope for him is staying healthy. You have Max Scherzer. You have guys that can pitch in the top of that rotation.
Especially if they stay healthy.
So, the Mets can be dangerous, but don't sleep on the Braves either.
You know my pick.
The Braves have a superstar in right field, Ronald Acuna. You have Austin Riley, who's having an amazing year. Like, he's having a remarkable year. The Braves, you got to really look out for them. They're trying to defend their title. And they have a lot to prove after losing Freddie Freeman. You know, they're going to be looking for revenge after Freddie Freeman signed with the Dodgers if those two teams do meet in the playoffs, you know. And another team to keep your eye on, like you said, as well as the Cardinals. Adam Wainwright, to me, has gotten better with age. You know, you still can't count him out. You can't doubt what the Cardinals have done. It's been amazing. To me, the Cardinals have some of the best hitters in their lineup. You talk about Nolan Arenado. To me, he's one of the best third basemen that we've ever seen play. You know, and he comes up to the plate, and he's hitting home runs. You know, he's sending the ball flying over the fence. You know, or he's getting a double, or something of that nature. You know, the guy is an incredible all-around player. I really like Nolan Arenado. He attacks you early. He likes to hit early in the innings. You know, he likes to get going in the innings. That's when he piles up a lot of his numbers in the early innings. And then you have Paul Goldschmidt, who I think is this year's MVP in the National League. So there you have it.
I'm going to stick with my original prediction that I made early in the season, and I'm going with the Subway Series. I think it's going to be Mets and Yankees in the World Series. I think the Mets, if they stay, I know they just struggled. Like Dustin said, they just got swept by the. But I think the Mets, if they're healthy and with the pitching they have in a 7-game series, man, you could face. You don't want to face Scherzer, DeGrom. They can have Bassett, and you can face Scherzer and DeGrom again. I mean, you're going to face one of them twice. So I just think they're going to be hard to beat in a 7-game or a 5-game series with their pitching. So I like the Mets, but you can't sleep on the Braves because hey, the Braves are a good team. Cardinals, I think since they picked up Montgomery and got another starting pitcher, they've looked pretty good. And you're right about Wainwright. I've made a rule: I never bet against Adam Wainwright because every time I bet against him a couple of years ago, he always burned me. But yeah, I think it's going to be the Mets and the Yankees. I think the Yankees went through their little rough patch. Looks like they're starting to pick it back up. I don't know about the Subway Series, but like I said, in the National League, I think there's a few teams that could really cause some damage and could surprise some people. But I'm sticking with my pick.
One of our viewers listed a comment about the Cardinals. I mean, not the Cardinals, the Guardians.
Yeah.
I know the Guardians picked up some steam.
Don't sleep on the Guardians.
I know they picked up some steam, but they're a very young team. You know, they got quite a few players on that team who's at the age of 26 or under the age of 26. So, you know, when inexperience meets experience, usually the team with experience beats the team with inexperience. So that's the only thing with the Guardians, you know, but a team I'm going to say not to sleep on in the American League is the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah. They're pitching, Castillo looked good tonight pitching for him again. He's been solid.
That's the reason why they acquired him.
Looks like they might make the playoffs for the first time in like 20 years.
Right. They're trying to end that playoff drought. And that's the reason why they acquired him at the trade deadline to help strengthen up that starting rotation. By adding him to the starting rotation, it shored up that rotation. And now they have more of a legitimate shot to at least make the playoffs and end that long drought of theirs.
John said, explain the year the Cards won then. Dustin said, tell it to the 2016 Cubs. Inexperience sometimes is better because you don't know no better. It can go both ways. You can be inexperienced and not fold under the pressure, but then you can be inexperienced and fold under the pressure. So, I mean, you see it happen both ways. So I really don't worry about the inexperience as much as just you have to perform. What players perform during that game. And like I think it is sometimes inexperience does help you because you don't overthink it. Sometimes you just go play. You play free. You're not out there worried about making a mistake and stuff like that. So sometimes I do agree. Sometimes the inexperience can't help just because you don't know no better. So you don't get as nervous. You don't get as tensed up and maybe and make a stupid mistake. But then you also see it go the other way as well sometimes. So I mean, you never know. We've seen some young teams get hot and go on some runs.
Oh yeah, Rocktober. Remember Rocktober with the Colorado Rockies? They surprised the world. And then you had the Tampa Bay Rays a few years ago. You had the Rays when they were managed by Joe Maddon that year. They made an impressive run, only to fall short to the Phillies. So you've seen it. You've seen these teams go on, magical runs in October. I mean, just a few years ago, you go back to 2019, flashback to that year, and the Nationals won the whole entire thing. So, I mean, yeah, you're right. There's always that surprise team that come from out of nowhere, and everyone's like, where the hell did you come from? You know, how did you get this damn good? Well, they just got hot at the right time, and it's a game of momentum.
All right, you have any final thoughts before we get ready to get out of here for the evening?
Yeah, Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns owner, Robert Sarver, however you say his name, was suspended for 1 year and fined $10 million by the National Basketball Association. LeBron came out and ripped the league and basically said that the punishment is not harsh enough. LeBron is urging for the league to send a bold message to the Phoenix Suns owner for his racial slurs on at least 5 occasions. According to the investigation, now, we don't have any of this on tape. We don't have an audio that this was said, but it's been investigated, and the statements and the conduct described in the findings of the independent investigation are very troubling, very dismissive, and disappointing. It's really, really hard to understand why, he was not punished. Why he was not handed a harsher punishment for his actions. I mean, this is unacceptable.
Let me ask you a question. What would be an appropriate punishment?
I would think you would have to suspend him longer than a year. And some people are even saying that he should be banned from the league. Now, I don't know what LeBron's position is on it. LeBron, from my understanding, LeBron just said that he wants a harsher punishment, that he thinks he's deserving of a harsher punishment, that he thinks that he warrants a punishment longer than a 1 year suspension. So I don't know what LeBron means. Maybe he means that he should be banned from the league, but LeBron's comments was very vague. So, I mean, I don't know where LeBron stands with it, but I know it doesn't sit well with LeBron that he was suspended for 1 year. But you got to put your foot down. You got to send a message that racism will not be tolerated. There's no place for racism in any professional sport. We've seen this before in the NBA. Remember with Donald Sterling, and Donald Sterling got the lifetime ban. Remember, we talked about this the other day, too. Chris, remember we talked about this on Unscripted with Jason and the crew. And we came up with some valid points on why Donald Sterling was booted from the league. And part of it was because of his reputation. You know, he had a reputation for being a racist. You know, he wasn't liked by his peers. You know, and that was one way to get him out of the league. Also, the commissioner had just taken over. Adam Silver had just become the new NBA commissioner. And right when he, you know, was appointed the new commissioner, he had a tough challenge. You know, he was met with a tough challenge and he handled it accordingly. And he handled it in the best way that he possibly could have. And that was by banning Donald Sterling for life.
Yeah.
The one-year suspension
didn't bother me as much. I think 1 year is okay. I think you could have gave him maybe a $20 million fine instead of $10 million. Other than that, but I think 1 year is good because as far as I know, this is really the first time he's been in trouble or has done anything like, you know what I mean? It's the first, it's just like, this is came out multiple times. You know what I mean? He ain't like a multiple offender, at least that I know of. So if this is for really time being in trouble, I think 1 year was okay, but I would have maybe gave him a $20 million fine instead of 10. Because, I mean, let's be honest, the guy owns two pro teams, $10 million isn't shit. But, you know what I mean? You have to be careful what you do because if you say, let's ban the dude, then are you going to ban everybody that says something wrong? Because then that's going to – if you do that to owners, then the owners are going to start wanting players banned for saying stuff. So, you know what I mean? You're going to get into a slippery – it's a slippery slope. It sucks. We shouldn't have to deal with it.
You have to drop the hammer and you have to take action because then, you know, these owners are going to think they can get away with saying just about any and everything. And you know, some things are just inappropriate and some things are offensive.
That's what I'm saying, Judge. Right here, okay?
Using the N-word is...
No, it's offensive. But what I'm saying is, let's say you take this, you ban them. Are you going to ban Anthony Edwards for life for discriminating against the LGBTQ? You know what I mean? So you have to come up with the punishment. If you go overboard on this, you're going to have to start being more harsher on players as well.
Right, and Anthony Edwards was wrong for what he said.
No. Well, and this dude was wrong. I'm not saying this guy wasn't wrong because he was wrong. But I feel like 1 year was sufficient. But I do feel like they should have fined him more money, and like John said, make him take some kind of class, like you see a lot of people getting to do. And I think more people would have been all right with that. I think it's the $10 million that really got people. It's like $10 million ain't shit to this dude. So I would at least doubled that to 20. But you know what I'm saying? That's a touchy slope. We shouldn't have to deal with it. If people could just learn to respect everybody, treat people how you want to be treated, and we wouldn't have the problems like this. You're muted, Judge. You're muted, Judge. You're muted.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion, but at the end of the day, you know, your opinion have consequences. You know, and you're not exempt from consequences.
No, yeah. Josh said 20. You know, Josh said 20. He said, let's go for the guts and say 100 mil.
I mean, racism doesn't surprise me because it's everywhere. It's in every workplace. It's not only in the NBA. It's in the NFL.
No, it's everywhere.
It's in the school districts. It's in law offices.
All I'm saying is if you start banning everybody that does something that's considered racist, and especially if you start banning all these owners like that, then the owners are going to be calling for the NFL and these NBA and these leagues to start being harsher on the players when they do stuff. So, you know what I mean? So it's it's just a weird balance. I mean, hell, I think
it's complicated. It's complicated.
I think 20 it mil was, would be good, but
it's complicated because at the end, hey, you can't.
Yeah, I heard Adam Silver on there defending why he did why he gave him the punishment he did, and I mean, made sense. So, but we'll see what happens. Hopefully this guy learns from it, moves on, becomes a better person from it. I mean, that's all you can hope is that these people get educated and move on in the right. But I don't think banning people and just trying to cancel people because do one thing wrong or something like that. I just don't think that's the right way to go because that's really you're fighting hate with hate, and you know what I mean. And I think you gotta do something so that it stops, but you also don't want to go overboard because you're causing more problems. So, it's crazy. You gotta be smart. You gotta be smarter about what you say and do. And like I said, treat people treated. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. It's been great. The chat room.
Thank you.
I love the interaction. Please do us a favor. Wait, real quick. John said 2-2 Monster Fire Arizona Diamondbacks. But no, I want to thank everybody. Please do us a favor. Hit that subscribe button on the YouTube page at Gonzo Sports Room. Also, the YouTube page. We got there's a lot of great shows, a lot of great analysts over on the ASAP Sports Network. Make sure you check them out. Follow them on Facebook and Twitch as well. Twitch, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. That's where you find all the stuff about our shows. We have a big wrestling show coming up here in a couple weeks, Warrior Pro Wrestling 12. It'll be their anniversary show. And then the week after that, we have Cornfield Carnage featuring the hardcore legend, WWE Hall of Famer, Mick Foley will be in attendance at that show. October 1st. That'll have the Boogeyman. It's going to have, like I said, Mick Foley will be there. Going to be an awesome show, so make sure you join us for that October 1st. Check out Gonzo and the Judge every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 11 p.m. Eastern. Like I said, you can find it live on Facebook and Twitch at Gonzo Sports Room, live on YouTube at The Sports Judge, and live on ASAP Sports Network, All Sports, All Plays, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. Also, join me tomorrow morning for Around the Bases, me and the Stat Guy, on the Gonzo Sports Room YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. If you like talking baseball, join us tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. 1 p.m. Eastern, I have the ASAP Afternoon Blitz. We had a great show today with Jay McLove and Rob Scott. Nate came on for a little bit, had a good time, so join us for that. And then join me and my dad at 3 p.m. Eastern for Easy Money, a sports betting show. Join us for that. We'll go through the day's slate of baseball games, give out picks for the baseball games, and we'll also look at some of the NFL games, give out our picks for tomorrow's big NFL matchup. You can find me a lot of places. I'm all over ASAP, and I have gone to a sports room going on everywhere. Judge, anything I missed that you wanted to get in?
No, I just want to tell our viewers out there that they can find me on my YouTube channel as well, The Sports Judge. Make sure you guys hit the subscribe button. I can't emphasize that enough. Hit the subscribe button because you don't know what you guys are missing. You know, yeah. And I post a lot of great content on that channel, so check it out. You guys are more than welcome. Don't be shy. You guys are more than welcome to message me anytime if you have any comments, questions, or concerns. And you guys can also follow me on Twitter, SportsJudge85.
I'm on Twitter at Chris D. Gonzalez, also Gonzo Sports Room. Anything you want us to talk about, just send us a message. We'll put it in the comments. We'll make sure we get to it. Hey, Judge, when we get off here, stay on for a minute, because I want to talk to you about something real. I meant to tell you that before the show, but I forgot to. So I didn't want to. It started, ended the show, and then you take off. But yeah, I do want to talk to you about something real quick.
All right, cool.
Hey, I have a blast doing this show. Hope everybody enjoys it, and we'll see you guys tomorrow or Friday. See you Friday night at 11 o'clock. We'll be previewing all the football. But yeah, for all the footballs we'll be having on. You'll have the college football getting ready to come back up again. NFL, we'll talk all about all that Friday. Any other big stories that break. But we appreciate everybody joining us, and we will see you guys Wednesday or Friday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. Have a great night and stay safe.
Peace.
All sports are plays. Yeah. All sports are plays. All sports are plays. 365, we're making a place. You talking the game, get you through the days. We're high in the court, the dime in the lane. Variety topics, living the same. All presentations, sports information. In the airways, taking the nation. All sport, all plays, they work in your faces. Grace at the field, so tie the laces. All sports, all plays.